Welcome to WGMC at 50, a historical podcast series reflecting back on the five decades that WGMC Jazz 90.1 has been on the air in Rochester. WGMC 90.1 FM signed on for the very first time on November 1st, 1973.
We now commence with our first day of broadcast.
I'm Rob Linton, station manager of Jazz 90.1, and I've spent the past few months talking with WGMCers, past and present, and those who have had a hand in getting this radio station to where it is today, again, celebrating our 50th golden anniversary.
Welcome to the first broadcast by the Monroe Educational Radio Association Network.
We'd like to thank everybody who has participated in this series so far, and we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy an oral history of WGMC at 50. Welcome to WGMC at 50. I'm Rob Linton, delighted to be here with another excellent podcast celebrating our five decades on the air here in Rochester. And one of the great things about this podcast series is being able to connect with some of the folks that were involved with Jazz 90.1, then WGMC, back in the early days. And I'm delighted today to be joined by Eric Hemdahl. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome. It's kind of an honor to be remembered after 50-odd years.
So, Eric, if you could, give us your story with how you became involved with the station, what you did for the station. Take us back to the beginning, if you could.
So, Paul Pakish, I don't know if you've interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my oldest friends. We've known each other since first grade. And when we got to high school, he went off to Arcadia. I went off to Carleton Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed in touch. And he said, you should do this. This is great. WGMC is great fun. And so when I was a freshman, he invited me over to the station one evening and walked me through and showed me master control and the music library and all this stuff. And I was smitten. That was it. So I started volunteering, going through announcer training and doing town crier announcements and doing news reading and whatnot. Eventually, I got my third class phone with my broadcast endorsement. If you've been following the chat on Facebook with people remembering, you know, going to Buffalo for our FCC licenses, I was on that bus on August 5th, 1976. I remember the inspector signed our temporary permits so hard she almost tore the paper.
Well, we should explain to folks, too, that are listening. Back in the day, years ago, anybody who touched broadcast equipment or dealt with transmitters and things like that had to receive a license from the Federal Communications Commission. So what a lot of schools did, or school clubs or that type of thing, they'd pile on a bus, head to Albany, right? It was in Albany, you said?
There wasn't one in Albany. Ours was in Buffalo.
In Buffalo. And you would all take your test, and if you passed, you got a little card, and that meant that you could actually put your hands on equipment at that point, right?
Right. And so I started running an air shift on Thursdays. I called it Musical. And I would do a Thursday afternoon air shift and then record or run the board for the news just between 5:30 and 5:45,
mm-hmm.
which was a bit of an exercise because we had first a live news broadcast, and you might have some actualities or sound bites to play. There were two or three short recorded programs that we had to run, Earth Watch, as I recall, from the University of Wisconsin. You'd have to run that. And all of this while you're also announcing. So, you know, you couldn't have the noise of one of the reel-to-reel tape machines rewinding something in the background while your microphone was open. Mm-hmm. And so that was fun. I got to be a DJ. And for an introvert like me, it was kind of perfect.
And we should explain too to folks that, you know, back in the day when, of course, the building is now Greece Odyssey, but when it was Cardinal Mooney, there was no affiliation with Greece Central. It was its own school. And then eventually Cardinal Mooney went away and Greece acquired that building and became Greece Apollo Middle School, which is where the radio station was housed for many, many years before we moved to where we are back in 05. So it's kind of a fun kind of full circle thing, if you will.
I remember as an underclassman, I didn't drive. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I asked for was, hey, can I take a school bus?
Sure.
From Mooney to, at that time, the station was in Greece Athena. Mm-hmm. And of course, the answer was no, absolutely not. Liability, insurance, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Mr. Betstadt did, but he did something, right? Probably reminding the powers that be that I could only be on one bus at any time.
Right.
So there wasn't any more liability. So I was actually assigned to two buses, and I could hop on one and go to the neighborhood behind Athena and walk over to the high school and do my thing.
They were probably Greece buses anyway, I would imagine, right?
Of course they were.
Yeah.
Of course they were, right? That was always, it seemed to be part of the deal.
Yeah.
Between people who sent their kids to parochial schools versus public schools.
Right.
You know, the parochial school parents would support whatever is in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And the budget would always make sure that we had a bus, which in point of fact was really important.
Sure.
Right? It was very, very useful. So that was fine for the first year or so. And then Paul and I got the idea for the Week in Review, which was a 30 minute show on Saturdays. It was the last thing that we broadcast at the end of the week. Mm-hmm. After the Week in Review, we would shut down for Sunday and start again Monday morning. So that's how I spent most Saturdays during high school. We'd come in, one or the other of us, or somebody else, maybe John Roudenot or Eric Florak, would run the board for our remotes from Long Ridge Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Which generally ran, I think, like from 9 to noon. Meanwhile, Paul and I were pouring through whatever recorded stories we might have been saved by, you know, someone like Marilyn Fall, who was doing our continuity, or Viv King, our program director. She would audit any kind of recorded material that came into the station, and if there was something interesting, she'd set it aside with, you know, Week in Review scrawled on the envelope. And we put together 30 minutes of news that we would do live from 5:30 to 6 every Saturday. It was great, great fun.
So, you know, we talk about the fact that you were young and in school at the time. And here is this radio station that showed up in your town. And you suddenly now have an opportunity that not many young people your age do. Talk about kind of what a kind of experience that was for you. And did you back then, second part to my question, have any desire to get into radio, or were you just kind of trying things out?
Well, there's two parts to that. First off, thinking back, I'm kind of amazed that they let us do as much as we did.
Right.
Especially on Saturdays.
Right.
Because Mr. B wouldn't be there. Mr. T wouldn't be there. We wouldn't have adults there in any kind of routine way. It wasn't like somebody was in the office supervising.
Right.
It was us.
Mm-hmm.
If we messed up, then we messed up. If we weren't there, then we were off. Then the station was off the air.
Mm-hmm.
So for being 15, 16, 17 years old, I'm amazed and kind of honored that the management of the station put so much trust in us.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we didn't want to let anybody down, right? This was, this was a real thing for us. We were pretty serious about it. Mm-hmm. As for wanting to go into radio, I actually did. After I graduated high school, I ended up at Cornell, and I was volunteering at WVBR, mm-hmm. which is it's a student-run station. It's actually a commercial station in Ithaca. The thing that kind of quenched my thirst was when I saw all the engineering students taking 6-7 years to graduate because of their work at the station. Mm-hmm. And I kind of said, you know what? Maybe not.
They didn't want to leave.
and sometimes I regret it. Because it really was fun, mm-hmm. to know what current music was a good thing. Mm-hmm. To know what current news was right as it happened. I was at the station, mm-hmm. in 1977 on the day that Elvis died. Mm-hmm. We were all there when we got the 10 bell alert from UPI, right? And everything, you know, kind of stopped for a second, and we read this and we thought, oh no, Elvis, right? So it really was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I think back to so many people who I thought were just incredible people. Viv King would do books for busy people, and for a long time I wondered, hey, what radio network did we get her from, because she's so good. Mm-hmm. Dick Boy, who used to do Swing Shift, right, aptly named because he would fill in after covering the town board meetings. Mm-hmm. Right, so his starting time would swing and he'd play swing music.
Sure.
An excellent, excellent announcer, and just a really nice guy. Ron Stein and the Friday Night of Gold, mm-hmm. right? Put you back in the 50s. Absolutely. It was kind of amazing.
We're speaking with Eric Hemdahl, who was a volunteer student at the radio station at WGMC from 1975 to 1979. And Eric, you know, as you've seen, you know, I know that you've been a part of the various Facebook groups and things like that, but as you've seen the station grow over the years, either, you know, kind of from a distance or whatever, you know, what are your thoughts when you hear about GMC hitting 50 years?
I'm really happy about it. I think today, as I thought back then, that there's always been some room for what I'll call independent radio. Mm-hmm. And I think WGMC is kind of unique because it's not NPR.
Right.
It's not public radio. Mm-hmm. It's not college radio.
Right.
And it's not commercial radio. And that's pretty rare. I think there's, at least from what I see on Facebook, there's maybe one other station similar to GMC, mm-hmm. out in Texas, right? They're few and far between. And I think that makes it special. Mm-hmm. Now, way back then, we didn't play, you know, all jazz. We didn't have that focus. And maybe people feel bad about that. Mm-hmm. Like that, we used to call it community educational, and yeah, there's space for that.
Sure.
But I completely understand that focusing on a format, having a focus for the station is important today, right? It's not 50 years ago. Mm. And the world has changed. I'm just happy that it's still around, and I'm happy that it's there. I've been following the station, like you said, on Facebook. I think all the activities the station does to popularize jazz and interact with Rochester, it's great. Keep it up. And the fact that it's independent, I love it.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us today as part of this podcast series. And it's incredible to hear again back from some of the young people who really started the foundation of this station back in the 1970s. And you guys sound like you really did have a wonderful time, all while learning as well.
Thank you much, Rob.
Thank you, Eric. And we hope to see you for maybe a studio tour here at some point.
I'll keep it in mind.
Thank you for checking out this episode as part of WGMC at 50, the podcast series celebrating 5 decades of Jazz 90.1 WGMC. Be sure to check back often as we plan to upload new episodes every week or two, celebrating those folks who have come through our doors, making this great radio station what it is today. Also, don't forget to check out our website. Our 50th anniversary page is loaded full of historical pictures, articles, audio, video, and so much more. This is Jazz 90.1 WGMC station manager Rob Linton. Thank you again so much for tuning in.